The IGD is the really scary one. The TKDs have a more questionable impact. The IGD is going to get your attention. They're going to have the white count of 120,000.
So can you talk about the other findings that she had on molecular analysis?
So she had the typical molecular profile of one of these patients is they'll have a FLT3 ITD. And oftentimes the report will come back and tell you how much ITD is there. And I would tell the practitioner, disregard that. It does not impact your choice of midostaurin. And while some cooperative groups have tried to claim it should impact what you do, it really shouldn't. People are coming to the conclusion, no, everybody gets kind of the same treatment. Targeted agent with midostaurin, get them in remission and try an allo transplant. Her other molecular features, though, are interesting because she did have an NPM1 mutation. You're going to see that go along a lot with these patients. She also actually had a D835Y. Look at that. She had two different types of FLT3 mutations. And that actually is going to become important. If you have a FLT3 TKD, you will not respond to some of the FLT3 inhibitors that are out there. For example, sorafenib, which many practitioners kind of use off-label, will not work in a FLT3 TKD patient. There's another drug that's probably going to be approved in 2019 called quizartinib, absolutely does not work in a TKD patient. So unfortunately, the oncologist does need to know TKD versus ITD down the road. Initially, though, it's important just that they've got a FLT3 mutation. They need, you know, if they're newly diagnosed, they need induction chemotherapy plus midostaurin.
Why would somebody give sorafenib when midostaurin is available?
In the relapsed setting, if you're relapsed and you've got a FLT3 mutation, people have this idea, oh, well, for one thing, this is another important point that practitioners should be aware of. Midostaurin has zero role in that setting. It's completely ineffective in the relapse setting, largely because in the relapse setting, what's emerged is a truly FLT3-driven clone. Midostaurin is a pan-targeted thing. It hits a little bit of FLT3 and a bunch of other things. It's a pretty weak FLT3 inhibitor. You're going to have to move to a much stronger FLT3 inhibitor at that point, which was sorafenib, but sorafenib doesn't hit the TKD. And so that's how these patients would get resistant to sorafenib. Gilteritinib gets them both. And so gilteritinib's label is for relapse refractory.